Welcome back to Respect the Dead, the podcast where we don't.
Steady, it's no surprise that everyone celebrated your demise. And now, worms are eating your eyes. So don't you worry your rotting head as you sleep in your sodden bed. It's time to respect the dead.
Welcome back to Respect the Dead. I'm Kaylin Conrad.
I'm Hoots.
And I'm Andy.
And today we are doing a Canadian. I often do gays because I'm like, I don't want to talk about straight people.
Fair.
But then I was like, but I'm not just gay. I'm also Canadian. And maybe I don't want to talk about Americans either. Because like,
fair.
They're very often Americans. And I'm like, oh, were we surprised an American is a terrible person? Canadians are supposed to be nice. So let's break some stereotypes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little known fact, the plus in LGBTQ plus is for Canadian. It's the Canadian plus.
Just Canadians too.
That's the only one.
We didn't want to put the C on.
Because people would think cunt.
Everyone would think that. So. Yeah. Today we're going to break the maple syrup glass ceiling.
The maple ceiling?
The maple ceiling.
The maple syrup glass ceiling.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. Like some maple glass, like you like pour some maple syrup in a pan and bake it.
Yeah, I was just thinking like sugar glass.
I imagine that's the glass they broke through at the end of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like they broke through that glass and it was a maple glass.
Probably. Sounds delicious.
That sounds dangerous.
It was. It's a very dangerous. Do you know what they do to those children, Kaylin? It's pretty bad.
I don't. I've never watched it. I tried to watch it and I was like, this is stupid.
You're not missing turn it much. Off.
I mean.
Everyone was like, this is like, I've dated like so many people who were like, this is my favorite movie. And then I watch it and I'm like,
Wait, which version though?
Like the old one with the old.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if one. You've been dating people whose favorite version is the Johnny Depp version.
No jail.
Your algorithm hates you.
My Tinder algorithm is like, is pranking me.
Trash.
At this moment.
Oh God. Those men probably all wear scarves and ugh, gross.
Yeah.
You can smell them.
Yeah, no. Oh, no, you can.
Oh.
From here.
The body spray.
Ugh. Okay. Today we're talking about someone whose name I think I'm going to pronounce correctly, but nobody knows. Joseph Albert Guay, but he's French.
Guay.
So it could be Guay.
The lesbians, the Guays, and the bisexuals.
Lesbians, Guays, and bisexuals.
Could be Guay.
Guay.
Could be...
No, it's gay.
No, it's gay.
Guay.
So I'm just going to call him Joseph because his name is Joseph Albert or like Joseph Albert.
Joey.
But we're just going to go
Albert.
With Joseph.
Okay.
He was born on September 22nd, 1917 in Quebec. So like a Virgo Libra cusp.
Mm.
And he's the youngest of five kids. So, you know, he's like...
I am also a cusp. So I'm already intrigued. I'm a Pisces Aquarius cusp. So we're both...
It's the bisexual of the astrology world.
You said cusp. Ooh. Okay. I thought you said cuck for a second. I was like, what?
No. Cusp.
Honestly, cusp. I have so much more respect for cucks. Because they know how to share.
Okay.
Right?
They're sickos for it.
I know. They're like we got like some Care Bear levels of sharing here.
Yeah. They're like, oh, share.
Oh, I just want to share so fucking bad.
I just want to watch like, you use my things.
Okay, that's definitely okay.
You want to use my brush? Put it in your hair. And he was also the youngest of five. So a Virgo Libra cusp, youngest of five. So like also the baby.
Oh, he was a brat. I just know it. He was a bratty boy.
Yeah. Absolute fucking brat.
Yep. Yep.
He does not want to share. He's the opposite of a cuck.
He's like punching the Care Bears out of the way.
But he's like, I don't even have to share because I'm baby. So the people just give me things.
Mommy doesn't make me share. I just sent you a photo of this freak.
Oh, he looks like a brat.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why is his forehead so big? He looks like a cartoon.
His
character.
Whole head is so big.
Okay. This sounds bad, but his face shape reminds me of my dad. My dad has the same thing where his face is very long and big with a lot of forehead.
It's like
and
not
a very
centered.
Prominent chin.
I just want to like cut out the face and carry it up.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, I want to open it in Photoshop right now and do it.
He literally looks like Tweety Bird.
Yeah. Although that's fair. When he was 5 years old, his dad, but like in French, it's like his papa or whatever.
Papa.
Died in a horrible railroad accident.
Oh, no.
And I was like very high when I was doing this research. And I was just sitting there like, you know what? Nobody ever talks about the actual victims when we all sit around and we do trolley problems. It's like, oh, there's like, you know, five people on one side and one on the other. And it's like, well, I kill the one. And I'm like, that was his dad.
Yeah. I think that's the idea of the trolley problem is it like changes depending on who, like you can do a trolley problem that's like it's five people, but then the other person is
your dumb dad.
Yeah, is your dumb dad, is your wife, is
or
like,
are the five people are like all murderers and the one on the other side is someone you know.
Yeah,
but is it still,
but do I
yeah.
like them?
Yeah, do you like them? Yeah. There's so like yeah. a baby with a knife on one side but a dog that's got sad eyes on the other, like it's stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah, it changes.
I'm going to need another trolley.
What if I want to hit them both?
I throw a boomerang from the trolley to get everybody.
I grab the baby from the knife and I throw it at the dog.
I grab the baby from the knife.
You're like, let me just take that from you and then throw the baby.
I grab the baby from the knife and I throw it at the dog.
And then you're sitting there with the knife like, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? Like cradling it.
It's a little bent body.
Oh, my poor little machete.
Oh, machete is a gorgeous name.
Machete.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, machete.
It sounds like you're saying enchanté.
You could call her like Mac for short.
So during WWII, Joseph got out of the draft. I don't know how, but like kind of like least based war to try and avoid. Like, they really yeah. wanted me to go fight Nazis, but I was super busy that day because I'm against violence, maybe, or whatever will get me out of this.
I can't fight the Nazis because yeah. I have flat feet. Sorry.
Oh, my God. My feet are so flat. They would totally hear me coming like a duck running after you. I have flat feet, and that's what it sounds like when I run across the apartment. It sounds like I'm wearing, like, flippers.
I also have flat feet. That's why I laughed so hard at that.
You know the sound. But I also have like size 11 feet. So it's like it is giving clown.
Size 10.
I have tiny little perfect curvy feet.
Yeah,
if anybody is listening,
Shut up, who's listening
and wants to pay for that. My arches are so high.
Okay, so 1941. He marries a woman named Rita Morel, and they move in together in Quebec City, Quebec, Canada.
Oh, so now there's two guys.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that there was a Quebec, Quebec. It's like New York, New York.
Yes, except not. And that same year, they had a baby girl. I don't know her name. She wasn't important to me.
Machete.
Machete. Little baby machete.
Little baby machete. Okay, he looks less terrible in this picture. His forehead is still huge.
Yeah, maybe it was a bad angle.
But it was a bad angle. His forehead is still huge. Like, you never take a picture from above when you have a five head. His wife also has a large forehead and no eyebrows.
She looks upset.
She looks like, oh, crap. What's that actress's name from Seinfeld? That's who she looks like.
I was just thinking that. Dreyfus. Oh.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, Dreyfus.
Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Yeah, Louise Dreyfus. That's who she looks like.
Yeah.
Including the facial expression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's like, ooh.
She just got up to some kind of shenanigan.
She's
something.
The shenanigan was marrying this man that she does not love.
Yeah, that's not great.
I would imagine.
And overplucking her brows. Like, okay, listen. Okay, this is a public service announcement. I know that overplucked brows are coming back into style.
No, they will not. Not if I kill every single person who does it. Hey, editing Kaylin here. I missed you. It's been so long. Are you doing something different with your eyeballs? They look scrumptious. Yeah, don't overpluck your eyebrows, please, or I'll have to do like a sort of Bloody Mary vibe where one day when you're overplucking, I will reach out of the mirror with like a hook for a hand or something. Something more eyebrowy, like tweezers or
if you are listening to this and you are a Gen Z and you think, hey, I want to do that, do not. Do not. We lived through this.
No. I'm still recovering.
I was just a little bit too young. I was still in middle school when that was going. So I was not plucking my brows at all yet. And I thank the Lord for that every day, because all of my friends who were just like 2 or 3 years older than me and were like fully teenagers by then, like it never grew back.
The more you know, music plays.
The more you know. I was like 12 when I started, because all my friends were girls and they all did it. So I was like, oh, I should do it too. And it was fucking horrible. My mother's eyebrows, like each one was like 6 hairs, just like lined up, like in a row.
No.
Like it was just like, and it basically still is.
Oh no.
Like I'm lucky that I stopped a lot when I was a lot younger, but people will always be like, wow, you really over pluck your brows. And I'm like, I don't pluck them. This is all I can manage. That's why I have to get them laminated so they look full, because like they're just... We're not doing this again.
If you want to do the bald brow look, bleach them. You can do that. You can bleach them and leave the hairs there. Like, do not pluck your brows. Okay. End PSA.
What was the serial killer who was like, I'm only going after girls with like a specific hair type?
Bundy. Ted Bundy.
Okay, that's gonna be me, just to scare people out of plucking your brows.
I only go
so plucked killer.
Some bitches with like really naturally thin brows are listening to this, like quaking in their boots.
Draw them the fuck on. Yeah. Get ready before you leave the house.
You better get yourself a brow merkin.
So we're in Quebec. Quebec, if you will, for the Americans in the chat.
Quebec.
Joseph worked at the Arsenal and sold watches and jewelries as like
jewelries
as a side hustle.
Watches and jewelries.
just various jewelries.
Guas spelling jewelries.
Which is how he met a watchmaker named Genero Roost. Maybe like Roost.
Ooh, Genero, Jenny.
I know.
I love that
Jenny,
name.
Jenny. I realized I could probably not properly say Genero or Roost. So I just ended up calling him something else throughout the rest of this entire document.
Do you remember what it was? Or is it Jenny?
Oh, no. We'll get okay. there. I just like, as I was looking over it this morning, I'm like, oh, it only took me like one page to both forget his name and then go back and be like, oh, I'm not saying this
I don't
again.
Speak French, but it sounded like you said it perfectly. Genero.
Yeah, well, I guess if they're French, they can't listen to our podcast anyways because it's in English, so they wouldn't know. So Joseph became best friends with him and his sister, Marguerite Pitre, who ran a boarding school in Quebec. And she was known by her neighbors and later the press as Madame Le Corbeau or Madame Raven.
Ooh.
Because she always wore black.
Ooh.
Or La Femme Pitre.
Goth queen. Love it.
I love her.
So like I obviously call her Madame Raven for the rest of this. Madame Raven. Because are you fucking kidding me? So there's a photo of Madame Raven.
Yes.
She's a little crusty.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she looks so mad. She's a little crusty.
Yeah.
Her She's hair as
some kind of white stain on her right tit.
Right in her boob. Right on the
little,
tit.
Little deodorant stain.
You know what happens?
She does not. She's not serving deodorant, but she's giving a little red from Orange is the New Black.
I never watched
kinda,
that.
Kind of, yeah.
She looks like she would be very comfortable in a prison.
Yes.
Is what I'm getting from that image.
Yes, and she has a very specific way that she makes her mashed potatoes. And Lord help the man or woman who gets in her way. Or envy.
I was about to be like, wow, Mandy. Wow.
Sorry.
Non-binary people aren't allowed in prison because there's no place to put them. So we can commit any crimes
For
we
the
want.
Other kind of gays listening, she's giving Mama Morton from Chicago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The musical. Yes.
But not the
movie. And I don't think she's going to start singing a like a burlesque number or anything anytime soon.
No, I would hope not.
In her dreams, though. Like in the movie.
Maybe in her dreams.
In her fantasies.
Like in the movie.
So near the end of the war, Joseph made becoming a jewelryist his full-time hustle. Yeah, that's the one.
A jewelryist?
A jewelry-sist?
A jewelry fanatic.
But it also started selling more like engagement rings, so less watches.
Okay.
But then also crucifixions.
So change the focus of his Etsy shop. Okay.
That's good business. Yes, his crucifixes and engagement rings. The Catholics got to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, it's Quebec, which was very Catholic.
I see.
So
the French.
The crucifixes.
Get hitched or get hung. I like it.
Yeah. He did that. And then his side hustle with.
You two just froze.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
No, you froze.
You froze.
Sorry, I don't know. That's so defensive.
Sorry. Okay.
No,
okay.
You're the frozen one.
You both aren't frozen now. So bullying worked. Thanks.
He would do his like regular jewelry store stuff, selling crosses, which I've never seen in a jewelry store, but fine. But he would also buy like busted ass watches and take them to Madame Raven's brother, who I will call Brother Raven because that's cute. And then he would fix them and then give them back to Joseph to sell. So they had like a working relationship and then they were all like really good friends.
Okay.
But not with the wife. Nobody likes Rita.
Oh.
Rita is just like.
Which is Julia Louise Dreyfus?
Yes.
Okay. Nobody likes Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Joseph's wife, everyone's like, why don't we all hang out? And by we all, I mean the two Ravens and Joseph, and Rita's like at home with the kid.
Like they have two group texts. They have the one that includes her and the one that doesn't. And the one that doesn't, they make all the plans in.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like really awkward when they accidentally send something in like the group, like telegraph.
Right.
Channel.
She's like, hey, what's this about? And they're like, don't worry about it.
Oh, sorry. It was like. Like an inside joke. You're like, you had to be there, but you weren't because you weren't invited. You stupid bitch. Whomst we hate.
Get in front of this trolley.
Yeah. Oh my God. Can you grab me something from in front of this trolley real quick? Oh my God. I dropped my baby with a knife dog on the trolley. Can you grab it?
Knife dog.
So, summer 1947, Joseph meets a young waitress, Marie-Ange Robitaille.
Robitaille.
Who told Joseph she was 19.
Uh-oh. Uh-huh.
She was not.
Uh-oh.
She was 17.
Oh, no.
And homeboy is 30.
Ew.
So,
he is
like a whole eighth grader older than her. There is a photo of her. She's the only pretty person in this story.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, she is. I know. She looks like Dita Von Teese.
Great eyebrows.
Amazing.
Great eyebrows.
Thick.
Now you can see them.
Strong.
Yep.
Yeah.
But still very well shaped.
No stains on her shirt.
Very well shaped.
And clearly
very gentle.
Yeah.
They look like they've been penciled in as well. Like she did a strong makeup line and it looks great. Yeah.
So Marie knows Joseph has a wife, but she was still in love because she was pretend 19 years old. She obviously still lives at home because not only is she unmarried, but she is
a child,
a baby. Yeah.
Still in high school.
She introduced him to her parents as a single, much younger man named Roger Angers.
How much younger?
She's like, this is my boyfriend. He's 18. I know he looks like he's 30, but he just he has a really bad skincare regimen and we're working on that together.
He never drinks water ever.
He has a really bad skin condition called being nasty and old. Their relationship develops very quickly. He's visiting her at her parents' house multiple times a week for over a year before Rita finds out what he's been doing. Which is like, I don't know what he was saying. Like, oh, I need to go out like four times this week. And she's like, where? And he's like, none of your fucking business. Like, I go where
not
I want.
Not to belabor the point, but if there was any case study in why you shouldn't overpluck your eyebrows, this is it. If you overpluck your eyebrows, your creepy husband will cheat on you with a child.
I would have been like happy that he was gone, but like, okay, Rita. Fall of 1948, so like a year after the affair starts, Rita calls Marie's parents explaining what the situation was. There's no record of the call, but I imagine it was like, hey, how are you? Aren't telephones cool? I'm so glad they were invented yesterday. Anyway, saying your last name makes me sound phlegmy, and your precious little baby daughter is like a dirty, nasty, filthy father fucking whore who needs to keep her smooth hands off my pig of a husband. And then they were like, oh, wow, okay, our daughter is a whore. And then they kicked her out of the house.
Oh, oh. I forgot that this happened in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, which is like crazy. It's like, she's not even gay. Is it legal to kick your straight kid out? Like,
well, I guess if she defiles herself before her marriage.
Oh, sodomy. Yeah, she's still a little sodomist. You're right. Yeah.
Are they not mad at the adult man in his 30s?
Apparently not.
Well, they can't kick him out. Oh, they hate him too. Okay. Like, they don't want her to be with him, but they also were like, I don't think we can have you living under our roof.
Okay,
if you're
let's
be
think
like
about this logic
about this.
Though. You don't want them to be together, so you
kick
deprive
her out.
Deprive her of a home. So where is she gonna go? Who does she know with a home? Mm. That logic doesn't make any sense.
Oh no, they figured that out in like a couple
okay.
weeks.
Because like that's yeah. like such a weird thing to do. Is like, oh yeah, we'll just kick
they were
you out.
Old and timey French Catholics. They weren't thinking.
No. Mm.
They were praying.
They would have loved the groomer panic, though.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
they actually had a real groomer on their hands.
A literal groomer.
They were like, we were born at the wrong time. But then it was like, because they didn't get to join in a hate mom.
Yeah. R.I.P. Maggie's parents. You would have loved groomers.
I think her name's Marie.
Oh. I thought it was Marguerite. Maggie. No, that's the other one. Marguerite is the raven, right?
Yeah.
Maggie.
Maggie. So Marie calls Joseph and is like, so remember your bitch wife? Well, she just blew up my stupid life. So Joseph calls Madame Raven and they're good friends, who she would say that she was like a mother to him. So Madame Raven also owned a boarding house near where Joseph and Marie had met and were having their affair. And they had even like met at her boarding house to have some of their illicit meetings. So Joseph was like, okay, can she stay with you for a bit? And she was like, of course, because I'm a ride or die bitch and I love a paycheck.
I love her.
But then later he rented an apartment for himself and his mistress, like 500 kilometers away from where he lived with his wife. And then was like, okay, so I guess I'm going to have to like move back and forth between the two houses, like every like month or whatever. And both of them were like, I don't like this. This isn't working for me. And he was like, well, have you considered that you're women? Like, and nobody cares. And I didn't ask.
Okay.
So Marie's parents realized she isn't going to like break up. Because I think what they were hoping was that they would kick her out and she would be like, well, I guess I have to stay with you now. And he was like, listen, you stupid bitch, I'm married.
Yeah.
Like, go back to your parents. But that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. So when that didn't happen, they were like, maybe our daughter should come back home instead of like living in sin with this man. But she was already gone.
I don't want to live in sin with a man.
I know, right?
Who's paying for my apartment? Like, yes, please.
I know, right? I mean, some other stuff happens. Oh. So
preferably an age appropriate man.
Up until this point, I support it.
Minus the age gap.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't like age gaps.
Up until this point and excluding some previous points, I support it. I just don't want to pay rent.
If you're listening and if you're listening to this podcast and you want to see my gorgeous, tiny little curvy feet, please pay my rent.
So Marie lies. She's like, oh, I'm totally living in Montreal with him. They're living somewhere else. Her parents have no clue where she is. And she's like, that's it. Like, I'm happy with him. We're going to be together. But less than a year later, she was already planning her escape. She borrowed $50 from someone at the restaurant she worked at.
That's so much money.
$648 today. Oh! I already
looked
did
it
the
up.
Conversions.
That's so much money. Imagine borrowing that much from somebody at a restaurant.
$650.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. If someone like at Starbucks when I worked there had been like, I need $650 to get away from my boyfriend, I'd be like, why don't we just kill him? It's like so much cheaper.
Hang on. I'm going to go get my knife dog. We'll take care of this.
Baby, grab my knife dog.
Baby. Baby comes riding out on the knife dog.
she buys a ticket to Montreal and she can get her parents to pick her up from there. But Joseph had followed her to the train station and demanded that she come back home with him and said, like, if you don't, I'm going to make a scene. I don't know, like, what this scene would be, but, like, I just find that very funny. A grown man again, being like,
he's such a brat.
Yeah. I'm going to make a fucking scene.
I'm going to throw a temper.
He's the youngest. So he probably would have thrown himself on the floor and started going,
started crying. Or maybe he would have gotten on the train tracks. Maybe he would have gotten on the train tracks.
We can only dream.
Better hope I'm not driving the train.
Trolley problem. It's going to hit 5 babies with knives or 1 groomer.
Or 1 groomer with a huge forehead. What do we do?
I don't know. I kind of want the trolley to hit them all. Can I back up the trolley and hit?
Yeah, back up the trolley. Circle. Get them to switch it. So Marie goes back with him. And then when they get home, he takes her coat off and puts it on.
What?
Himself. And then takes her gloves, wearing her coat, and burns them, and then goes to bed in her
coat. How big is her coat?
I don't know.
Why does it fit him?
I feel like coats were pretty roomy back then.
Oh, maybe. I thought it would be like tailored to fit her.
I don't think her clothes were
and
tailored.
She looked like a little lady.
Well, maybe, I mean, it never said that it looked good on him.
All right, like, let's get Marie a new coat. Let's do a Kickstarter to get her a nice fitted tailored coat.
I think she's probably dead. This is like the 40s, unless she's like 100 years
this
old.
This bitch is like 97 years old and she's sitting around in her roomy ass coat.
Listening to this podcast,
like,
nodding along.
If I could just get a little coat that would fit me well, I would die happy. But in French, because she's French.
It's all these years, she's never gotten a new coat.
Sorry, I don't know why, like, she's I'm imagining cold. This giant man with his giant head just, like, trying to squeeze on a petite woman's coat.
Oh, I'm sure it was that disturbing. Like, I doubt it was like he just like put it on and she was like, oh my God, you know what? I know that we're fighting, so but that looks great on you.
And then his fact he wore it to bed? Like, what is...
Yeah, that's weird. That's creepo shit.
He wore it to bed so that she couldn't run away with her coat. And it's like Quebec, so it's like
so it's
frosty.
Cold.
You know?
Yeah, that's creep
that's
shit.
That's so creepy.
I'd be like, you know what, motherfucker? I'm going to put on one of your coats then, since we're sharing clothes.
Right? I'm going to burn some of your gloves. How about that? I'm going to slit your throat. Huh? So the next morning, he goes back to the train station, refunds her tickets. And he's like pretty convinced that the reason why she wants to leave is because they can't be married and they're living in sin. I think it's because he's an annoying brat with a lemon head. But like,
and she's...
We all have our
theories.
How long
have they been dating now? Is she now in her 20s and realizing that like he's a loser and she wants a real boyfriend?
Yeah, it's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
So she's like 19.
So she's 19. She's kind of growing up and realizing that she wants a real boyfriend and not this weird groomer creep.
Yeah.
She's like, you're a lot older than me. This is weird.
Yeah, I don't like this, actually. And I'm really pretty and I could just go date somebody else.
Yeah. Who's like not a monster.
Look at me. Look at you.
Look at me. And then look at you. So a month or two later, he decides he knows how to fix this. So he calls a family friend, 21-year-old Lucien Caron, and is like, hey. So remember my wife, that horrible piece of shit that I won't leave because I'm the worst? Well, how would you feel about me giving you $500 in today's dollars, which you hold, if you hold on to it until like 2023, will be like $6,000. And then like, I give you that money and you poison my wife's wine. Deal? And Lucian's like, one, no. And also like, B as well. You're fucking crazy. I'm not killing your wife for you, you fucking freak.
French Canadians are so bad at being French. Like,
oh, you're not gonna poison some wine?
Like, if this was happening in France, first of all, there would be no problem with an illicit affair, and like, second of all, there would already be like 4 people dead from poisoning.
Yeah, And also, like, French people in like actual France probably drink a little bit of poison in their wine every day to get used to it to prevent something like this from happening.
Just to build up a little immunity.
Yeah.
It's called vaccines, get one.
If you don't drink a little bit of poison, a little bit of belladonna in your red wine every night, like, you're basically an anti-vaxxer in France.
Yeah. That's such an iconic, like, vibe. Drinking belladonna wine. Yes. Madame Raven and her belladonna wine.
So 2 months after that, I don't know that Rita knows about this, but she was like,
dumb
finally
bitch.
Was like, arrête. Took their daughter, whom I still know literally nothing about, and moves in with her mom. And soon good after that, Marie escapes Joseph by going back to her parents and gets a new job in a different restaurant farther away from him.
Good for her.
So now he has no ladies in his life.
Good.
But as Marie's walking to work one day in June, Joseph, our little stalker, pops up and confronts her and pulls out a gun.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Men.
He was like, if you don't come back to me, I'll fucking shoot me. And then maybe even you, which was like,
you can't do it that way around.
That's not the right order.
That's not how this works.
I think at that point you just go, okay.
Yeah.
You should. Well, that's what she said.
No, she was like, okay, lol, like, still know you, rat. So, like, now what? Because, like, I don't think you're going to do it.
Good for her.
He tries to convince her, but then has to, like, take off running down the street because a cop heard their argument and walked up to him. And he's, like, waving around a gun.
Hey, what's that about?
Oh, my God. Rare cop win.
Yeah. Maybe the cops in Quebec were a little more useful, like, 100 years
ago. Just being
ago.
In the right place at the right time. Didn't even have to do anything. Just walking by.
Hey, guy with a gun, why do you have a gun? And he's like, bye! See ya!
Oh, no!
In the U.S., the cop seeing a guy waving around a gun would be like, hey!
Yay, I got one too!
These things are so fun to shoot!
Shoots her.
I got that for you, buddy. Jesus.
I also like to wave around my piece at my wife. And my girlfriend.
/ girlfriend. So the cop walks her back to work and hangs out in the cafe or like in the seating area to see if homeboy would come back, which, like, obviously he did because he's not smart.
Yeah. Stalkers seldom are.
Yeah. And when he does come back, he's arrested and charged with attempted assault with a deadly weapon. Joseph calls Madame Raven, who finds him a lawyer and gets the charge reduced to illegally carrying a firearm. The punishment is a $25 fine, and he's released the next morning.
So that's like $340 in today's money.
Yeah, which is like nothing.
Yeah.
2 days later, Joseph convinces Marie to meet him by calling her and being like, listen, you're in danger. Which, like, yeah. But claiming Rita had the power to get her arrested for damaging his reputation by getting him arrested. Ugh. And the only way that she was going to get out of this was to flee to Montreal with him and hide out until it was safe for her. And reluctantly, she does it. The first few days, he's like buying her clothes and giving her attention. Things are like, she's like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be like, I just need to wait it out for a little bit and things are going fine. So, like, maybe I can put up with this. But within a week, they're fighting.
Yeah.
And within the month, she's left him again.
Yeah.
He gives her a note as she's leaving saying, I love you terribly. We'll be together again very soon. Destroy this note. And she's like, what the fuck? No, that's weird. And, like, puts it in her pocket and keeps it.
Destroy, like, this note.
She laminates it. She posts it on social media like, what the fuck's this about?
It's so weird to be
so
like.
So weird.
What, do you think you're in witness protection?
Yeah. Like, I love you. Burn this. Like, no.
That's someone who knows that note's going to be used in a criminal trial later. That's what that is.
I mean, right? Like, what the fuck?
That is also written by a man who says, I will make a scene. Like, he just kind of makes a scene about everything.
He really does.
Which, he's a Virgo. Mm. Like, I do get it. It, like, they, and by they I mean I, do understand the need to be the main character simply because, like, obviously you're, like, funny and interesting and smart and cool. Mm. And people should see that. But I think the cusp that was going on with him made him feel that way, but not be that way. Because he was not funny, smart, entertaining, or cool. He was, like, literally a giant man baby.
It was a Virgo what cusp again?
Libra.
Libra.
And nobody, I don't know what a Libra
is. Yeah, I don't know much about Libras.
I can only assume that they're literally nobodies. So therefore...
And groomers.
Oh, are the Libras getting mad? Stay away from kids. Sorry, that's what I get sent on Twitter like 30 times a day. I'll be like, happy pride, and people will be like, stay away from my kids.
Meanwhile, Kaylin's like, kids are gross, ew.
I'm like, number one, I hate kids, and number two, I think you're confused. I'm not a Libra.
Oh my goodness. I don't know anything about horoscopes, and I'm just sitting here just like, okay.
No, okay. My favorite thing about horoscopes is I just make it up as I go along, and everybody else is too.
And it's always right.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
No. Because, like, if you're like, oh, that's such a Libra thing, like, they're not, if they're, like, really into horoscopes, they're not going to pretend that it's not. They're just going to be like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And we're all just doing that.
Fake it.
Yeah. It's like playing house.
All Libras are groomers, and all Pisces have sexy little curvy feet.
It's just literally science. Google it.
So when are you launching your OnlyFans hoots for your feet specifically?
Her only feet?
I just want a celebrity wiki feet so bad. Like, I've already...
Me too. That's how you know you've made it. I'm going to post myself.
I've got, like, a couple of those, like, celebrity, like, net worth pages, but I don't have one for... I don't have a wiki feet, and I really want a wiki feet.
Well, that's literally how you know you've made it.
Yeah, I don't want anyone... No.
I have gorgeous feet.
I got nice little
I should feet. Probably be making money off them, too. By this point, Marie's left. Joseph is once again blaming Rita. Like, she wouldn't have left me if I hadn't married this stupid bitch, like, 10 years ago.
It's always the women's fault.
Always.
Of course.
Those damn, like, uteruses.
There's no, like, real divorce. Like, you can't, like, just... run out and get a divorce. It's Catholic Quebec, late 40s, early 50s. Yeah.
It was really hard to get.
Yeah.
He was like, there's only one way to solve this problem.
She dies.
A little bit of murder.
Yeah. A little bit of murder.
I feel like murder is still a little extra if you really just need a divorce, but he did not agree with me on that.
I like that he's like, I'm like Catholic, so like, getting divorced is a sin, so I'm going to kill somebody.
But murder's fine. Murder's fine.
I'm going to kill somebody.
Well, I don't think he felt like it was a sin. He was just like, these fucking priests. These fucking Libra priests.
Oh, that makes sense.
Sorry, deep cut.
That makes a lot of sense.
So 2 months later, on Friday, September 9th, 1949... at 10:45 a.m., a fisherman 66 kilometers north of Quebec City heard an explosion in the sky.
Oh, not an explosion.
Oh. Okay.
Not far away, 5 men working on the Canadian National Railway line also heard an explosion coming from the sky above them. And then they all see the same thing. A plane, billowing smoke, but not on fire, falling to the earth and crashing onto a rocky hill.
Okay.
The men race to the crash site, and this is a direct quote, arms, legs, severed heads laying around on the ground.
Jesus.
The forward part of the plane looked intact. The bodies were piled up in there as if they had been thrown forward when the plane crashed. There was nothing we could do, so we rushed out of the woods to alert the railway authorities. Within the hour, radio stations across the province were broadcasting that a Canadian Pacific Airlines plane had crashed near Sault au Cochin, which I think is like Sault au Cochin.
Okay.
the plane was flying from Montreal to Baie-Comeau, which is like a bay, like literally a bay, on Quebec's north coast. And it had stopped at Quebec City to take on some passengers and was scheduled to resume its flight at 10:20, but it left exactly 5 minutes late. All 23 people on board, 19 passengers, and 4 crew members died in the crash. One of them is Rita.
Oh.
A forensic analysis of the debris showed that the crash was caused by a time bomb planted in the front baggage compartment of the plane. Oh my God.
He put a bomb in her bag.
He killed so many. Dude.
Why didn't he just poison her like he originally planned to?
Just poison her.
It's bonkers. I'm going to get into what happened.
This guy really was into making a scene. Jesus.
Yes. Jeez. Classic Libra.
Classic Libra.
Those classic cusps just blowing shit
fucking
up.
Fucking sicko Libra behavior.
So Raymond Chasse, a journalist for The Sun, or Le Soleil, if you're in Quebec, reported that a mysterious woman in black had air freighted a parcel onto the plane right before takeoff.
No.
Police identified the woman in black as Madame Raven.
No.
When questioned, she claimed the package was from Mr. Delphi Bouchard of Saint-Simon being sent to Mr. Albert Plouffe of Baie-Comeau and that had been entrusted to her by Joseph Gouet, a watchmaker. The cops
This is why nowadays they're always like, did you pack your own bags? Did anybody give you anything to send?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And yes, they did. Mind your own fucking business. This guy out back said that if I brought this ticking package onto the plane, he'd give me $10.
And I did it for $5.
And the cops were like, okay, well, that sounds like an easy enough story to check. Mr. Bouchard, did you send a package? And he's like, I did not. And they were like, Mr. Albert Plouffe, do you exist? But nobody answered because he did not. So they were like, okay. Hey, Joseph. You were the one that apparently orchestrated this. Why was your wife on the plane? And also, why did you take out a $10,000 life insurance policy that day?
No, never do it right before you murder her. God, what a rookie mistake.
Murderers, they always do, though.
Always.
They always do.
So stupid.
They always do. They're so fucking dumb.
Jesus.
2 weeks after the crash, Joseph is arrested for murder and one of the first passenger plane bombings, like, in history.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's what happened. This is what came out during all the interviews and stuff. Everyone knew that he hated his wife and that he had a mistress. Like,
yeah, he wasn't subtle about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, I hate my wife. I wish she would die in a fiery plane crash.
And then was like, but why do you think I did it?
Telling everyone he met, like, oh, sometimes don't you wish that you could just put a time bomb on a plane with your wife and just watch her and like 23 other people die? And everyone's
no. Hypothetically, of course.
No, I've never thought that.
He's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm the bad guy here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess I'm the weird one.
Whatever.
And it's like, Jesus, just poison her.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't. She's French. I can't. I'm a Libra and she's
what
French.
What happened to that fucking gun he was waving around?
She's filled to the brim with belladonna. What am I supposed to do?
Just hit her over the head. Like, what the fuck? This is
stab
Quebec.
Her. Like, come on. Like,
grab a dog from the knife on the train tracks. Oh, no, the baby.
The baby. Grab a baby from the knife on the train tracks.
Swing it by the ankle and let go so it goes right at your wife. Boom.
Shot putting an infant into her skull.
Okay, so he's like, here we go. We need to be smart about this. I need an alibi, a good one, and some accomplices that no one will ever suspect. So I'm going to choose only people that are my best friends.
I'm about to say, sorry, people who are definitely not suspicious, like a woman who dresses in all black called Madame Raven.
So, yeah, he's like, I need an alibi and some accomplices. So lucky for him, his buddy Madame Raven and her brother, the watch repair dude, were poor AF at the moment. And open to some like illicit money making. So he offers to give 600 debt to the Raven and offered her brother money and a discount on a ring he wanted to buy for a lady. Can you imagine?
Employee discount for helping murder my wife.
People agreeing to murder you and like finding out that they got like you're dead and you're like watching this from beyond the grave and you realize that like part of the compensation package for your death was like a coupon.
Was a discount ring.
It's not even like a coupon. It's like a rebate sticker or something. Yeah.
Mail-in rebate.
They really did Rita dirty. On this one.
Yeah. They really did.
Yeah. So
that poor bitch. That poor skinny eyebrow bitch.
She probably couldn't even see what was happening right around her because there was so much dust in her eyes.
Yeah.
Because her eyebrows weren't catching it. She didn't look like she had very good lashes.
Luckily,
either.
They give you a full set of eyebrows in heaven.
They're like,
they
here
actually
you go.
Don't let you in without them.
Yeah. Dress code.
Yeah.
You get your wings and then your little eyebrows, and your eyebrows help you fly.
You get your brows, you get your wings, you get your trumpet or whatever the fuck. Madam Raven heads on down to the local hardware store to buy some dynamite.
These people are so dumb,
dude.
Like some Wile E. Coyote Acme fucking.
I'm sorry, like shops back in the day went so hard. You could get dynamite, you could get arsenic, like everything was just like at your local Walgreens.
Yeah. So okay, homegirl shows up, she buys dynamite, 15 detonating caps, 30 foot length of fuse, and an alarm clock.
This is so Wile E. Coyote coded.
This is hilarious.
This is Acme Core.
I'm just imagining like all of that and then just like a little stick of gum on top of it. Like, yeah, it's totally kind of, it's kind of like when you go to like the store and you buy like a stack of condoms and lube and then you're like, and maybe, I don't know, this apple is all good.
I don't do that. I look them directly in the eye.
I don't either.
Do you think she was like, should I get an anvil just in case?
Do you have any chalk so I can draw a desert scene on the side of like a rock, like the side of a mountain face?
A train tunnel.
Little train tunnel, yeah.
That would work on me. Just like a train tunnel painted on the wall with a little knife holding a baby on it. Or was the knife holding a dog? I can't keep this straight.
Why is the knife holding anything?
I think it was the knife holding a baby.
Because it has rights, man.
Oh, that's right, because it's not a woman. Sorry.
It's a knife, not a woman, Mandy. It can hold whatever it wants.
That's right.
So the shopkeeper's like, hey, girl.
It's just you tonight.
What are we doing? She's like, so there's these like tree stumps in my yard.
Oh, yeah?
I need to blow them up. And he's like, And the alarm blew. It's like, I need to wake up early to do it. Like, I don't know. I'm making up the last part. But he did ask her why, and she did say it was tree stumps. But she did give him a false name. So, like, she's like, my name's Carol motherfucking Marinara. I have some tree stumps to kill.
Was she wearing all black when she did this?
Yes. Yes, she was.
Stupid bitch. At least pull out a red dress for the day, you know?
Right? Wear a different outfit.
I know. A little blonde wig. Like, come on.
Put a mustache on. Come on.
I know. She's like, actually, it's Mr. Raven. They'll never know it's me. So she wraps it all up, gives it to Joseph, who brings it to Brother Raven.
I can't believe he still let her buy it. Did he not have a responsibility to be
like, this is a little suspicious, but anyway.
Her Quebec loonies are still good money. So she wraps it all up. She gives it to Joseph, who brings it to Brother Raven, who at this point is like really tuberculosis-y.
Ew.
But still managing to make bombs. So he used batteries, an alarm clock, and dynamite. She didn't even like need the rest of it to rig up a time bomb. Madam Raven delivers the bomb to the airport. The clock was set to trigger an explosion when the plane should have been flying over the St. Lawrence River, where the waters would like swallow up the evidence. That was the plan. Mm.
Oh, but it left late.
Yes, 5 minutes late.
Ah, okay, I see.
Yeah, you have to account for delays. Anytime you air travel, you have to account for delays.
If, like, I don't know, like, how he would have done that and just been like, it's, we'll just add an extra 20 minutes or whatever, because it's flying over, like, a river.
Yeah.
It's not, like, flying over the ocean where you're like, okay, so I have,
where
like,
you're
a
there
good,
for
like,
hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's a, like, chunk of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his plan, obviously, plane explodes, it lands in the river. Now Maria's like, oh my god, your wife's dead, we can be together, and also you're so rich from this insurance money,
girl,
that you took out the day she died.
Yeah, not sus at all. But obviously it didn't explode over the river, it exploded over the Quebec countryside, where large parts of the plane were intact for them to
find evidence
to look at.
Yeah,
because the back of the plane
they
exploded.
Found a bomb.
Yeah. So obviously, a couple days after the explosion, because he couldn't, like, check Google, because this was, like, a million years ago, or like 80 or something, he sees a story in The Sun about a mysterious woman in black having delivered a package to be brought to the plane, and was like, okay, so I think the plan, okay, this is on Joseph. The plan didn't go exactly to plan. So we're going to have to work together to fix this. So he goes to Mother Raven and is like, hear me out. This is going to sound nuts, but like, hear me out. What if you wrote a note saying it was all your fault? And no, stay with me. Hold on. It'll make sense in a minute. What if you wrote a note saying it was all your fault, but then you killed yourself?
And at the bottom of the note, it says, destroy this note.
Win-win, right?
What? So he tells her to not only take the blame, but that she should kill herself to cover for his poorly enacted crime.
Yes.
Okay.
At first she says no, but then I'm a little fuzzy on this part, because a few days later after the crash, so this all happened like very quickly, Madame Raven swallowed like an overdose amount of sleeping pills. But she survives.
Okay.
Ooh,
so twist. I don't know if she actually was
trying,
planning, or maybe she was just sleepy. Listen, whomst among us has not taken a little too much
or
sleeping medication?
Maybe she was feeling depressed, but wasn't planning on like doing the, like, I'm going to write a note saying that I'm responsible, but I also kind of want to like die because I'm involved. In
yeah, this. There was no note. Yeah. So like she obviously wasn't carrying out his exact plan.
Yeah, it's possible that she did feel some guilt for the fact that, you know, a bunch of innocent people who had nothing. I mean, the wife didn't deserve to die either. But you know what I mean? Like literally a plane full of
people.
Have
you seen her eyebrows? You're right. She was an innocent on this.
So I wonder if that could have been like, maybe, yeah, she was thinking about killing herself, but she's like, I just don't want to deal with this because it sucks.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't want to like go to fucking jail.
I don't want to go to jail because our plan was really poorly enacted and they definitely saw me when I went and bought the dynamite. Yeah.
That's what I think might have happened.
She was like seen carrying like a bunch of dynamite and alarm clock home, and then seen like bringing something onto the plane.
Bringing a ticking package onto the plane.
By the string.
Yeah.
The fuse.
The fuse. Yeah.
So while she survives, she is high AF and being questioned by the cops at the hospital. And she says that Joseph, in a state of near hysteria, had told her that he had planted the bomb in a mysterious parcel that she had been asked to bring onto the plane. And she tells them that he said she should kill herself because she was going to be blamed for the crime, which she claims to have no foreknowledge of, saying that he had told her the package she brought had contained a statue. But like, they're also like, okay, but what about that time
you bought a bunch of dynamite,
you bought a bunch of bomb stuff
for your buddy Joe?
So you had no knowledge of the bomb, that is correct, but you bought all the stuff to make a bomb and gave it to the person
who then later gave you a package.
He said something about tree stumps, and I just, you know, he's my friend.
He's always hated them.
Yeah,
I think it's a Libra thing. I don't know what to tell you, officer.
So He's arrested 2 weeks after the crash and tried in February of 1950. And while awaiting trial, an informant reported that he said Brother Raven had made the mechanism of the bomb. When the police questioned Brother Raven, he was like, okay, did I make the bomb? Yes. Did I make it well? Of course I did. But did I know it was to blow up a plane? Absolutely not. I thought we were time bombing some tree stumps. And yeah, they like ran with this tree stump thing like into the ground. It's like, why would you need a timer?
When you've got a story, like, stick to it.
Was that even a thing back then? Like, would you, was that even like a common thing in any?
Blowing up tree stumps?
Blowing up tree stumps, yeah.
I think so.
I assume that's why you because could they didn't get have, like, dynamite excavators. At the store.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you could get things like dynamite at the store, because it wasn't for making bombs. Like, it was for like taking care of your lawn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your property.
Which is like bonkers because like one stick of dynamite is like if you bury it in the ground next to a tree stump and like get out of the way, like you're like, these aren't like backyards like today. It's not like next to like a fence or whatever.
It's like
right?
Acres.
Like this is like the countryside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like it, like when I was thinking about it, I was like, that's, this makes no sense. But then I was looking at pictures of like Quebec in the 1950s. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's
probably
a lot
more rural.
Yeah. So Joseph is found guilty of murder on March 14th, 1950.
Oh, you don't say.
And the judge cried as he presented a photo of Rita's body.
Oh, Jesus.
So like it was a very, I mean, this was one of the first like terrorist, well, not a terrorist attack. There was no political motivation, but like a...
It was a bomb. Like a, it was a bombing.
A mass murder on a plane. Yeah. Like planes blew up all the time because planes were like shooting each other like in the war, but like a commercial plane.
Right. With civilians. Yeah.
And it was a mass murder. Yeah.
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 And all to get one woman.
Yes.
Like...
Upon being convicted, he was sentenced to death by hanging. Before passing sentence, the judge said, "Your crime is infamous. It has no name." And his last words were, "At least I die famous."
Yeah, he did just love like, making a scene. He was a Libra.
Yeah. But he said it in French, so no one will ever know what he actually said.
The dead language, French.
His last act before he was executed was to send an extremely detailed 40-page confession directly to the Premier of Quebec, which accounted for Madam Raven and Brother Raven's involvement.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is a real piece of shit
thing
to
do. It is a real piece of shit thing to do. So because, did they get arrested and convicted?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. As a result, Brother Raven was arrested for murder on June 6th and tried in November. The jury had the option of convicting him of manslaughter, but chose to convict him of murder.
Okay.
Madam Raven was arrested on June 14th, so like a week after him, and tried separately in March of 1951, so a year after him. Mm-hmm. Both were sentenced to death by hanging. Brother Raven was hanged on July 25th. He had like fucking tuberculosis though, so he had to be brought to the gallows in a wheelchair.
Jesus.
Which is like,
just let him die of tuberculosis.
That's some sick, like, which is like, if you really want someone to like pay for their crimes and that's like your vibe, I think dying of fucking tuberculosis,
your lungs is like rotting out of your own body.
Yeah. Sounds like more of a punishment, and obviously that's what they were going for. This is a punishment. This isn't like justice.
No.
Like hanging someone isn't justice.
No.
Madam Raven,
I don't know if there's a way to get justice for a plane bombing.
No, you can't. Unless you're going to like kill them and resurrect them like 23 times. I mean, they were Catholics, so they just wanted him to go
justice
to hell sooner.
Yeah.
Madam Raven was hanged on January 9th, 1953. She was the 13th and last woman to be hanged in Canada.
Oh, lucky 13.
Interesting.
Yeah. And all three executions took place in Montreal. Usually I don't ever want to do like a true crimey one on here, but this was long enough that like everybody everybody related to anybody in this is
dead. Is yeah. dead. And this is yeah. a, I mean, this is a really interesting story.
Yeah. If it was just like a serial killer, I would not be chill with it. But he was like an asshole before.
Yeah. He was a
he murdered a bunch of people.
He was a groomer and a serial stalker and then a mass murderer.
An abuser. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck him. Glad he's dead. And glad worms are eating his stupid eyes and that giant fucking forehead.
There's still all that's left is the forehead. The worms are still like
they're still working through it.
They're like, I'm so full.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so full. And it's like, you are not wasting your dinner.
It barely looks like I've touched this forehead, but I swear I've been eating for like 70 years.
Like, you can't just move it around on your plate and pretend that it's not there anymore. The plate being his skull, I guess.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Respect the Dead. You can follow Respect the Dead on Instagram and Twitter at @_respectthedead.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find our socials in the show notes. And you should check out our YouTube channels. We don't shit on dead people there as often, but still, we're making tons of cool stuff.
If you enjoyed Respect the Dead and would like to support us, there's a couple of ways to do that.
You can give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you found us. If you leave us a review, we can read it out on the podcast. Reviews are the best way for new listeners to discover the show. Give us at least 5 stars and then share us with a good friend who likes venting about dead people.
You can also give us some money over on our Patreon. Patreon supporters get some cool bonus content like bloopers from the cutting room floor and even coming up with a fake sponsor ad that we'll read in an episode. It has to be a fake business though, not your MLM, honey.
Thanks so much for listening. Join us every Monday for our next Worm Feast.
I'm Kellen Conrad.
I'm Ailey Mandy.
And I'm Hoots. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.